Welcome to the Sunstone Magazine podcast, where you get the best of Mormon thought and experience in a succinct package. I'm Stephen Carter. This segment is entitled Polygamy and the Early Mormon Hawaiian Mission by John J. Hammond. John J. Hammond has a PhD from the State University of New York at Buffalo. He taught political science and philosophy at Kent State University for 35 years, retiring in 2007. For the past 14 years, he has enjoyed researching Mormon topics. The early Mormon missionary effort on the Sandwich, also known as Hawaiian Islands, is often described as happening in waves. The first wave, 10 missionaries from the gold fields of Northern California, reached Honolulu in December 1850. But five soon left when they discovered that, since there were relatively few whites speaking English in the islands, they would have to learn the native language. The five who remained, led by the very young George Q. Cannon, began learning the language, and by the summer of 1851 had achieved remarkable success on the island of Maui. They were bolstered by a second wave of elders, this time including the wives of four of them, who arrived in August of that year, including my great-great-grandparents, Francis, also known as Frank, and Mary Jane Dilworth Hammond, and their two-year-old son, Francis Jr., also known as Frankie. When the nine third-wave missionaries came ashore at Honolulu in early 1853, at least one of them, Benjamin F. Johnson, was a polygamist with several wives, though all of them had remained in Utah, and, as Frank Hammond put it in his journal, the new elders had, quote, brought a copy of the revelation to Brother Joseph Smith concerning plural marriage. It is now published to the world, and we are ready to back it up. The Lord's being our helper, even until death itself, if called to it, unquote. Despite Hammond's melodramatic endorsement, some members of Honolulu's small Mormon community were not thrilled with the news. The next day, Hammond admitted that, quote, Sister Mary Burnham is in great trouble about the new doctrine of marriage, unquote, though, quote, the brethren all received it well, as far as I know, unquote. Hammond had been instrumental in converting Mary Burnham and her husband Albion. Hammond and Albion had become acquainted on Maui when Hammond was recuperating from a whaling accident during the mid-1840s. Elder Cannon noted the same resistance from Mary Burnham, writing that the news of polygamy, quote, caused our hearts to burn within us and filled us with joy and thanksgiving that our lots had been cast in this day and generation, unquote. But, quote, Sister Burnham appears to be much troubled by this new, to her, doctrine. Brothers Albion Burnham, David Rice, etc., etc., believe it. Unquote. Although Mormon church leaders and many members had been secretly practicing polygamy since at least the early 1840s, Apostle Orson Pratt had made that practice public on the 29th of August, 1852. The news circulated the world in non-Mormon newspapers and created something of a sensation in the Sandwich Islands. In a 16th of March 1843 letter to Brigham Young, Hammond reported that the news about polygamy, quote, does not create half the excitement which I had anticipated. The people appear as if some unseen hand had prepared them for it. The Hawaiian government officers were not at all surprised by it, but told us that we would be narrowly watched, and if we were caught marrying two women to one man, they would be down heavy upon us. We told them that that was not what we were sent out for, but to preach the gospel and to live in subjection to the secular government powers that be, and to uphold them. Unquote. The Protestant missionaries who first arrived in the Sandwich Islands in 1820 found that polygamy was common among the natives. They managed to convert Hawaiian leaders and most of the population to Christianity over the years that followed, and persuaded the Hawaiian monarchy to outlaw it. This precedent may have been a reason why the native Mormon converts found the idea of polygamy attractive. Preparing to present the doctrine to the island saints at a Maui conference in Wailuku, Cannon translated Joseph Smith's revelation, Doctrine and Covenants 132, as well as Pratt's announcement of polygamy on the 7th of April, 1853. A journal entry says that he was, quote, translating at the revelation this morning and did not go to meeting, but stayed to finish it. I gave it to Napela to read, and he was very much pleased with it, and felt to praise the Lord for it. It was the first intimation that he'd had of it, unquote. Jonathan Napela, a graduate of the Lahaina Luna Seminary and a judge, lawyer, and wealthy farmer, was the most important early convert to Mormonism on Maui. It's interesting that he was, quote, very much pleased, unquote, with polygamy, because at least five times over the next several years, he confessed to the Utah elders that he had committed adultery. At the Wailuku conference, where Cannon's translation was presented, Elder John S. Woodbury reported that, quote, Brother Cannon arose and spoke for 2 hours on the subject of the plurality of wives, etc. We thought it best to explain it to them to prevent the influence and lies, etc., which we knew would be made use of, and also newspaper stories. And we felt that the best way to counteract the influence of false doctrine was to declare the truth and explain it fully to them, that there might be no room for mistake or wickedness. He impressed very forcibly upon them the necessity of not meddling with those things, that, at present, they were not for them. He then read the revelation and explained it to them. The people felt well and enjoyed the spirit. Unquote. Elder Ephraim Green wrote in his journal that day that, quote, there was nearly 1,000 present, unquote, and the polygamy message, quote, took well with them, this agreeing with their former practices before the whites came among them, unquote. On the 21st of April, 1853, convert David Rice arrived at Lahani from Honolulu on his way to do missionary work on the Big Island of Hawaii. According to Elder Hammond, Rice told them that, quote, the king and people are very anxious to inquire about the new doctrine on plural marriage. They believe it quick as a general thing, unquote. Rice's claim, however, was wishful thinking. Quote, there is no question that the doctrine of polygamy greatly harmed the LDS cause in Hawaii, writes LDS historian R. Lanier Britch. Quote, all manner of abuse was heaped upon the elders and saints there, just as in other parts of the world. Many newly converted members fell away because they could not stand the harassment to which they were subjected by their former associates and friends, unquote. But in the short run, the elders on Oahu made astounding progress that spring, converting hundreds of natives, paralleling the success on Maui the preceding 2 years. On the 1st of May, 1853, the Protestant Reverend Dwight Baldwin, who was Hammond's principal enemy at Lahaina, filed a station report concerning the Mormon missionary work on Maui, writing, quote, when they first came to Lahaina, they, the Mormon missionaries, denied that any such thing as polygamy existed at Salt Lake. Lately, they justify it. One has said that Jesus Christ had two wives at least, perhaps many others, or if not, that he evidently lived with Martha and Mary as wives without ever being formally married to them. Another said, as God had a son, he, of course, had a wife, and many other children doubtless, that he enjoyed the family relation the same as men did. Unquote. Baldwin claimed that, quote, all these and many other things were too much for our Lahaina excommunicated persons, unquote, who, he said, had been the ones converted by the Hammonds and other Mormon missionaries at Lahaina. Quote, they came to an open rupture with the Mormon priests in their meeting, first disputed, then ridiculed and forsook them, unquote. Indeed, some of the early native converts at Lahaina did leave the Mormon church soon after polygamy was announced, and the announcement was likely one cause. On the 12th of March, 1854, Elder William Ferrer on Oahu learned that his native Mormon convert, Elder J. W. H. Kawahi, had been arrested at Waimea on the island of Kauai and charged with bigamy, polygamy, although he maintained he had divorced his first wife. Though the authorities probably thought he was engaging in Mormon polygamy, Ferrer claimed that Kauai's arrest, quote, was religious intolerance and a desire to break down Brother K as they were afraid he would be elected to Parliament, as they dreaded his influence both as a politician and preacher of the gospel, unquote. In April 1854, Mormon elder B.F. Johnson, who had been converted to polygamy by Joseph Smith in the early 1840s, wrote an essay defending it against scathing attacks that were appearing in Honolulu newspapers. When he could not find a newspaper that would publish it, he arranged to have it printed in San Francisco in the form of a 26-page pamphlet entitled, Why the Latter-day Saints Marry a Plurality of Wives, A Glance at Scripture and Reason. He distributed 400 copies throughout the islands and was thrilled with the attention they received. Quote, for many days there was general excitement throughout the city, and had a thunderbolt fallen at the feet of our enemies, it would not have made a greater sensation, unquote. Calling attention to this controversial doctrine and practice, however, probably did more harm than good to the Mormon missionary effort. On the 8th of January, 1854, Elders Hammond and Redden Allred, quote, preached to a small congregation of whites from the Lahaina Hospital, unquote. The next day, Elders Nathan Tanner and Allred returned and, quote, had some talk to the patients on the subject of plurality of wives, unquote. Then, on the 21st of May, Hammond and David Rice visited the hospital and, among other topics, quote, made a few remarks on polygamy, unquote. Hammond noted that, quote, some of them told me after the meeting was over that they were very much pleased with the doctrine and would be glad to hear us preach if it was 10 times a week, unquote. On the 1st of June, during a church service, a native member of the Lahaina branch asked Hammond a question about polygamy. He wrote in his diary that, quote, this is the first time that I have ever preached upon the subject, unquote, probably meaning that it was the first time he had taught the principle to natives in their own language. He claimed that they, quote, received it joyfully, unquote, but this was not always the case. The missionaries were constantly on the defensive regarding it. Woodbury, for example, had been forced to defend it on the island of Molokai on the 22nd of May. On that same day, Hammond, quote, had an interview with the king's attorney, Mr. J. Austin. He said there were two things which kept him from believing Mormonism. One was Joseph Smith's being a prophet, and the other was the principle of polygamy. Said he had rather be damned than to believe and embrace such a doctrine. I told him he would have the privilege of being damned all he wanted, unquote. Frank had a sense of humor. On Sunday, the 15th of July, 1854, Elders Woodbury, Redden Allred, and Hammond preached at the Lahaina Hospital, and Frank reported that he bore his testimony, quote, to the truth of polygamy, told them if they were ever saved in celestial glory, they would have to be adopted into the family of a polygamist, etc., etc., unquote. However, polygamy was a sticky point in the Hammond family. On the 22nd of October, Hammond noted that he, quote, had a long talk with Mary Jane on the subject of plurality, etc. She has many downcast moments. O Lord, enlighten her mind and comfort her heart by day and by night, unquote. Frank's bitter enemy at Lahaina, Reverend Baldwin, cast some light on this situation in his May 1855 station report. Quote, there is a Mormon priest at Lahaina who is a shoemaker by trade. Frank worked part-time as a cobbler to provide for his family. The priest does not practice according to his preaching, for he preaches the taking of a multiplicity of wives, while he says he has taken but one himself, for he says his wife prefers that he should not marry another. He speaks of polygamy as a Christian duty, but once he acknowledged that some good Christian wives of the present generation found it a hard doctrine to submit to. A more perfect generation may come, when it will be very easy, unquote. On the 20th of March, 1856, Frank and Mary Jane Hammond set sail for Utah with their four boys, the one they had brought with them from Utah, two born in Lahaina, and an adopted boy, and arrived at the Mormon settlement of San Bernardino in Southern California on the 2nd of May. Meanwhile, another wave of missionaries arrived in Honolulu on October 1856, and one of them, Elder John High Jr., promptly apostatized. A 16-page article he wrote appeared on the 18th of October in the Honolulu newspaper The Polynesian. Among other things, he declared that Mormon leaders had lied for 9 years regarding their practice of polygamy, that, quote, polygamy owes its rise to the lusts of Joseph Smith, that it is subversive of man's happiness, that it is degrading to the women, who feel bitterly their degradation, that it is not productive of peace, but heart-wringings, anguish, and despair, and it is not beneficial to the increase of the population, nor improving the physical and mental development of their offspring, and that, instead of purifying and elevating man, it is a most depraving curse. Unquote. John Hyde's apostasy was a shock to the native Mormons in the islands, but the Protestant ministers in Honolulu were delighted, arranging for him to speak widely. Hyde was joined in apostasy by Elder Kawahi. The actions of these two men were among many influences that dampened the church's work on the islands. When the Utah War commenced in 1857, Brigham Young actually closed the mission, all the Utah elders leaving by the spring of 1858. The church decided to reopen the mission in 1864, calling Frank Hammond and his brother-in-law George Nebaker to be its new co-presidents. About 4 months earlier, Frank had finally become a polygamist, marrying a 19-year-old English immigrant convert named Alice Howard. Nebaker had married two of Mary Jane Hammond's sisters, Elizabeth and Maria Louisa Dilworth. Hammond, Nebaker, and the new missionaries assigned to the mission were to bring their wives and children with them. Nebaker brought Maria Louisa, who was 5 years younger than his first wife, Elizabeth. Apparently, Brigham Young and the other church leaders recommended that Hammond follow suit and take his younger, childless wife, Alice, to Hawaii. Mary Jane, 33 and the mother of 7 children, could stay behind. However, on the 20th of March, 1865, Frank wrote tersely in his journal, quote, had a very interesting talk with my family lasting till near morning. My wife Mary Jane goes with me on my mission. My wife Alice will make a home in Brother Lauren Farr's family for the present. Unquote. Alice had worked in the Farr home as a maid before marrying Frank. But, citing illness in the family, Mary Jane dropped out of the trip at the last minute. Hammond and Nebaker traveled to Honolulu, and Hammond selected and purchased a large plantation at La'ie, on the northeast coast of Oahu, where the first temple outside the United States was dedicated in 1919, and where the campus of BYU Hawaii is now located. But, wifeless, Hammond stayed on the island only a few months. George Nebaker, however, remained as a mission president for about 10 years, though his wife Maria Louisa returned to Utah after about 5. Though many of the Mormon missionaries and some of the mission's native converts claimed belief in the divinity of plural marriage, polygamy inflicted a mostly unproductive controversy on the missionary efforts in the area. It also had a souring effect on Frank and Mary Jane's marriage. However, the practice remained in place for another 3 decades after Hammond left the islands. That was Polygamy and the Early Mormon Hawaiian Mission by John J. Hammond. The text version of this article includes copious endnotes. That concludes this episode of the Sunstone Magazine podcast. Encourage your friends to join us by becoming a patron at patreon.com/sunstone. If you would like to further support Sunstone's efforts, visit sunstone.org/donate, where you can make a tax-deductible contribution. We'll be back soon. with another installment of the Best of Mormon Thought and Experience. Thanks for listening.